Well, I'm going to be sharing on evangelism. How many of you are excited about that? And evangelism is one of my favorite things to talk about, because when you're talking about evangelism, you're talking about people being changed and touched by God. You're talking about people that were on their way to hell that will now be on their way to heaven because someone stepped out and spoke the gospel. Amen? And evangelism is so simple. It's so easy. In fact, when we were in Shreveport, there were 9-year-olds leading dozens of people to the Lord. Little 9-year-olds. It was so precious. We had really every age group sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Shreveport, we saw 59,263 decisions made for Christ. And a lot of those decisions were made in the streets, by going up to people in Taco Bell and speaking the gospel. By going up to people that were on their way into the grocery store and sharing the gospel. By going up to people downtown dressed in their business suits and saying, oh, by the way, and sharing the gospel. So really, everyone and anyone who has Jesus Christ in their heart as their Lord and Savior, they are equipped, anointed, appointed, and commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to share the gospel, to be a witness. Amen? And really, you don't have to be in full-time ministry to do the work of an evangelist. Every single person who is born again, every single person washed in the blood of Jesus, whether they're 5-year-old, 15-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 63-year-old, or an 80-some-year-old, every single one of them are anointed, equipped, appointed, and commissioned to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what's so exciting about this is I'm gonna give you some foundational scriptures first. So often it's so easy to assume that someone's saved. Like, let's look at me for a moment. I was a church organist. I mean, when the church doors were open, I was there. Okay? As a church organist, and I would have split hell right open. I was a church organist for upteen years. I would have split hell right open. And the way I was introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ wasn't in church. I tried to sell some lady a vacuum cleaner. I was knocking on doors, and she was kind enough to let me come in and demonstrate this vacuum to her. She didn't buy it, so I was out of there. Okay? So she didn't buy it, and I was just about to leave her house, and she said, well, hold on a second, let me ask you a question. And she shared the gospel with me. And that's how I got born again. You see what I'm saying? Now, someone, if they would have said, hey, do you know Jesus? You know, so often, sometimes people use the method of, hey, do you know Jesus? Sure, I know Jesus. I'm a church organist. Hello. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, but we're going to get to that, more of that, in just a moment. I want to help you realize not only how easy it is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ from the penthouse to the crack house, but also I want you to realize how anointed, equipped, and appointed and commissioned you are to share the gospel every day. Sharing the gospel is a lifestyle. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if you say, okay, I'm going to share the gospel only on Saturdays from 11 to 2. What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday? What about Saturday at 5 o'clock? Do you see what I'm saying? Sharing the gospel is a lifestyle. Okay? In Psalms 139, it reads, that he formed you. For you did form my inward parts, you did knit me together in my mother's womb. God knew you before you were even ever born. And he has a calling, he has a purpose, and he has a plan for your life. His thoughts of you are more in number than what there is sand on the face of the earth. Isn't that awesome? His thoughts of you are more in number than that. That's phenomenal. I mean, if you were to go to a playground and scoop up, you know, a handful of sand and try to count every single little speck, my goodness, you'd have an opportunity to exercise your patience. You'd be doing a lot of counting, okay? And in John 10:10b, it reads, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly, more abundantly. Now, this God who knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, this God whose his thoughts of you are more in number than what there is sand on the face of the earth, this God who came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, guess what he tells us to do? This God who loves us so much, guess what he tells us to do? He tells us in Mark 16:15 to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He knows us better than what we know ourselves. My goodness, he's the one who made us. So wouldn't you agree that he would know where we would find such great satisfaction? Because after all, he did come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, God, who knows us so well, he would never tell us something that we couldn't do. He would never tell us something that we're not equipped to do. Because that would be crazy. And for those of you who have children here in this room, you know, you wouldn't tell your 2-year-old to assemble a computer. You wouldn't tell your 5-year-old, you know, hey, honey, why don't you go, go buy us a house, you know? I mean, that's insane. You would never tell your child to do something that they're not anointed, equipped, or appointed to do. But this God who loves you so much, who knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, who my goodness, he wants to see you live a life so more abundantly and experience a life more abundantly, he tells you to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that exciting? And some of you may be saying right now, my goodness, I'm not ready yet to share the gospel with my friends and family. Maybe some of you are thinking, you know what? I can't do that just yet because I have these areas in my life that I'm dealing with. Once I deal with all these areas in my life, once when I feel like I'm really, really pretty much perfect, then I'll go ye. Or here's one. Well, I don't want to go ye into the world and share the gospel, preach the gospel yet because, you know, hey, I may have these things going on or what have you, and I don't want to come across as a hypocrite. Who am I to share the gospel with that person? Okay? But here we go. Let's turn together to 2 Kings 5:1. If you have the same Bible as me, it's on page 500. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. Look at your neighbor and say, he was a great man with his master. Accepted and acceptable, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria, he was also a mighty man of valor. Look at your other neighbor and say, he was also a mighty man of valor. My goodness, now that's exciting. How many of you want to be a great man or woman with your master? I should see every hand up. Hello? How many of you want to be a mighty woman or a mighty man of valor? Okay. Now here we go. But he was a leper. Wait a second. Doesn't it just read that he was a great man with his master and also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper? How could that be? And leprosy is something you can see on the outside. You can't conceal it. Do you know what I'm saying? So when I read that scripture, I realized, my goodness, Naaman was dealing with some things. He had an infirmity. He had a situation going on. But yet, despite that, despite those circumstances, he was still a great man with his master and a mighty man in valor. And some of you here, you may be saying to yourself, well, you know what? I can't go ye. I can't preach the gospel just yet because I just don't feel I'm at that point yet. Now, of course, in verse 14, we see that he, of course, receives his healing. But I'm here to tell you that you are ready, you are equipped, you are commissioned, and you are anointed to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature right here, right now, today. My Bible tells me that we're being changed from glory. We're going from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. It's an ever-growing process. Am I telling you the truth?
Yes.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
So every single one of you, the minute you called upon the name of the Lord, the minute you said, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, you became a great man with your master. You became a mighty woman of valor. You became a mighty woman of valor. You became a great man with your master. Every one of you. Isn't that good news? Well, hey, sister, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I just don't feel that I know enough of the Word yet. You know, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm really going to get in the Word for this next year, and then I'll begin to share the gospel. Because I don't feel that I'm ready yet. You know, I feel like I'm unlearned or ignorant. Okay? Let's turn to Acts 4:13. Acts 4:13. If you have the same Bible as me, it's on page 1417. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. My goodness, so if you feel that you're unlearned and ignorant, guess what? You're in good company. We're talking about Peter and John here. They ate with Jesus. They drank with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. And these elders and rulers and scribes and high priests perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. But let's go on. What else do they say about these two gentlemen? They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Can people perceive that you have been with Jesus? I ought to be hearing, yes, yeah, sister. Yes. Hello?
Yay!
Okay. We're always going to be learning things about the Word of God because after all, it is called the living Word of God. And the things of God are bottomless. You'll never know it all till that day. Amen? So we're always going to be growing in the Word of God. Am I telling you the truth here?
Yes.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that you are ready to go out there and be a radical witness for Jesus. You are ready. I said you're ready. You're ready. You're ready to shake your world for Jesus. You're ready to go to your neighbor's house and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're ready to begin to share the gospel at work, on your lunch hour, or what have you. You're ready. You're ready. You're ready. Well, I'm going to wait till I'm in full-time ministry. You know what? That's like saying, I'm going to wait to tithe till I'm making $100,000 a year. When I'm making $100,000 a year, yes, sister, then I'll start tithing. If you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it then. If you're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with your neighbor, with your friends, with your co-workers, don't think that when you're in full-time ministry, then you'll start sharing it. Am I telling you the truth?
Yeah.
Well, sister, you know, I'm going to pray him in. I'm going to wait on God, and I'm going to pray him in. Well, this is what I have to say to that. Wait is in the Bible 106 times. Pray is in the Bible 313 times. But go is in the Bible 1,492 times. What point do you think the author of this book is trying to get to us? What point? Hello? Hello? What point?
Go!
What point?
Go!
That's right. And he's saying that to you today. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. My goodness, he makes it so simple. It takes an idiot to get it all complicated. Okay? Sometimes we don't find ourselves going because we get so tied up with the things of this world. In fact, when I read this next scripture I'm going to read to you, I couldn't help but to laugh. Because I looked at myself. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 21 through 22. If you have the same Bible as me, it's on page 380. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 21 through 22. Actually, I'll read it from the Amplified, and I'll start with the last sentence on 21. Now, this is what happened, okay? The people were saying, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king. So, God gave them a king. He anointed and he appointed Saul to become their king. Look at your neighbor and say, he was anointed and appointed. Okay? So, Saul was anointed and appointed to become king. And what happened was all these prophets came up to Saul, and they prophesied, and sure enough, it all came to pass. Okay? So, we're going to pick it up. With verse 21, the last sentence. So this is what's going on. So Saul was supposed to go to this meeting, and they're looking for Saul. They're like, well, where's Saul? Where's Saul? Where's the king? Where's the king? Okay? And when they looked for him, he could not be found. Look at your neighbor and say, he could not be found. Now, let's find out why he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man would yet come back. And the Lord answered, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. He has hidden himself among the baggage. He has hidden himself among the baggage. He could not be found. Why? Because he could not. He had hidden himself among the baggage. So many of the laborers in the body of Christ, so many of the people that are Christians, they can't be found because they've hidden themselves in the baggage. God's saying, my goodness, I want someone to witness to this person. And he can't find anyone to witness to this person because, why not? Right. Hiding yourself among the baggage is not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Well, what's the baggage? The baggage is, could be a lot of different things. It could be fear. It could be insecurity. It could be so tied up in the things of this world that if God said, go pray for that person, you got your own agenda. You're too caught up in your own agenda. Amen? So what do we do? Well, this is what I did. I said, God, burn all the excess baggage out of my life. Take it out, Lord. I don't want any baggage in my life. Burn everything out of me that's not of you. I want to be an effective witness for you. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. Not my will, not my agenda, not my desire, but yours, Lord. Yes. Your desires, Lord, make them mine. Your agenda, Lord, make it mine. And when you ask God to take away all that excess baggage, He hears you and He does so. Isn't that good news, class? Isn't that good news? How many of you want Him to burn all the excess baggage out of your life? That's a good thing. He'll hear you, and He'll do so. And before you know it, you'll say, my goodness, my desires have shifted. You'll notice yourself being a witness for Him. A mighty man of valor, a mighty woman of valor, a great man with his master, a great woman with her master. We're talking about you fulfilling everything God's called you to do. Yes. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everywhere you go. We had to buy carpet for the new facilities several doors down. And next thing I know, the owner of the carpet store is bowing her head asking Jesus to come into her heart. Now, when I went there, I didn't say, okay, I'm going to witness this lady. But I was receptive to the Holy Ghost. And there were other customers in that store. I wasn't like, someone might see me pray. Excess baggage is being insecure and fearful and too caught up with, well, what are they going to think about me? Instead of, what will God think of me?
Yes.
I want to be a God pleaser. I'm not too concerned with being a man pleaser. No, no, no. No, no, no. I want to be a God pleaser. 24/7. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we might say, well, you know what? Okay, woo, I'm getting fired up about going out there, going to you, but you know what? I can't just yet because, my goodness, I've only been saved for X period of time. Well, let's turn to the book of Mark. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. And that a great song. I know the plans I have for you. Declares the Lord. That's a great song. Mark chapter 5. Now, my goodness, after you read this, after you hear this, you're going to realize how equipped, how anointed, how appointed, and how commissioned you are to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here we go. Mark chapter 5. Well, I'll just paraphrase it, okay? I was going to read from verse 5 all the way to 20. We have a man here, and he's possessed with a legion of demons. This guy is so possessed that chains would not even hold him. I mean, come on, that's pretty possessed. Wouldn't you agree? Does anyone know anyone like that? Okay, so this guy's so possessed, chains won't hold him, he's naked, he's mutilating his own body. Now, if there was ever a so-called lost cause, wouldn't you agree that, I mean, my goodness, in the natural mind you say, woo, that guy's a lost cause. Come on! But what happens to this man? He gets set free. Jesus sets him free. Amen? So now he's clothed in his right mind. He's clothed in his physical body. And this man goes to get in a boat with Jesus. And what does Jesus say to this man? He says, no, you go to Decapolis and tell them what I have done for you. Now religion would like to say, no, sister, no, 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 you're not ready yet. You're not ready to go ye yet. In fact, I'll let you know when you're ready. Am I telling you the truth? I tell you what, let me just put my thumb on you and you stay silent. Don't tell anyone anything about Jesus until I let you know that you're ready. But in the book of Mark, chapter 5, we learn that the minute you call upon the name of the Lord, you're ready to be a witness. I said you're ready to be a witness. Amen. Well, I don't feel like I got a testimony. I mean, what am I going to tell them? Well, let me think for a moment. I guess you could tell them that you were on your way to hell, but now you're on your way to heaven. Does that sound like a good testimony? So how many of you are ready? How many of you have your testimony? Good. That's a good thing. Well, sister, I mean, how do I know who I should witness to? I mean, hasn't God called some, but he hasn't called others? Well, let's turn together to 2 Peter 3:9. How many of you are waiting to say if you have the same Bible as me? It's on page so-and-so. Okay, it's on page 1616. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Oh, I'm so thankful for God's word. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men would count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. But that all
Now, who does all encompass?
Everyone.
But that all should come to repentance. He didn't just hang on the cross for some of us. Am I telling you the truth? So let's read that again.
But his long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish.
I mean, that's pretty clear. I mean, I really don't see how someone could kind of get that mixed up and not understand that verse.
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Now, that's good news.
Amen.
There are no lost causes. There are no lost causes. I remember in New York at one of the food outreaches, there were two guys kissing. And I was inviting people, hey, why don't you come on over, get in line here, and you can get some free food. So I went up to these two guys, and I hate to say it, but most Christians, if they saw two guys kissing, they would have gone, oh, my God, oh, Lord, save those guys. But what does he tell us to do? Into the world and preach the gospel to? Okay, so does that include them? Of course it does. So I went. So I went up to these two guys and I said, hey, why don't you come on over here with me? You know, we have free food for everyone. We have sandwiches and all. We're giving groceries away to everyone. So why don't you come on over there with me? So they did. So we're walking together over to the food line. And so now we're in the food line. And, I'm just talking with them. And next thing I know, one of them went like this. And I said, hey, there's a wall behind us. And he fell against the wall. And I was like, hey, are you okay? He said, yeah, it's just that I haven't slept for the last 5 days. I said, why not? He said, I'm afraid if I go to sleep, I'll die like four of my friends did the week before. Anyways, why does that verse tell us again? Go ye into the world and... Okay, so now I'm going to preach. I went and now I'm going to preach. I said, well, his name was Ferret. I said, well, Ferret and Mark, let me just share with you some good news. And I shared a very simple gospel message, one that is very similar to the one we're going to hand out here. Next thing I know, the two of them are bowing their heads asking Jesus to come into their heart. Now, to the natural eye, you would look at them and say, no way, there's no hope for them. He was also a crackhead, by the way. When I was sharing the gospel with him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of doubt, that you'd go to heaven? He said, you know what? I know I'd go to hell. I said, why is that? He said, because I'm a crackhead. I said, oh, okay. Let me quickly share with you what the Holy Bible reads. And they were so ripe and ready. Luke 10:2 tells us that the harvest indeed is abundant. The harvest indeed is abundant. The harvest, if it's the harvest, it must be ready to be reaped. Because if you just planted some seeds in the ground, you wouldn't call it a harvest, would you? No, so it must be ready to be reaped. Am I telling you the truth?
Yeah.
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. I guess it could read like this. The harvest truly is great, but we can't find the laborers. Where are the laborers? We can't find them. Why can't we find them? Because they're sitting on their blessed assurance. They've hidden themselves in the baggage. But not here. Not here. I had the privilege and the opportunity to preach in a lot of different churches in Shreveport.
And I was getting ready, actually I was getting ready to drive myself to one of the services that I was doing. And when I got in my car and I put the key in the ignition, boom, the power of God hit me right there in the parking lot. And I felt like the compassion of the Lord just fell on me in such a wonderful, wonderful way, and I began to cry. And this is what I felt like he said. What if I would have returned on January 1st, 2000? What if, when midnight struck, and now it's 12:01, boom, what if he would have returned right then and there? What if? How many people would be in hell right now that you have the opportunity to share the gospel with, but for whatever reason you didn't? How many people in your workplace? How many next door neighbors? How many friends? How many relatives? How many students? How many people in your life, in your world, in your circle, that you could have shared the gospel with, but for whatever reason you didn't? Maybe you felt that it wasn't the right time. Maybe you felt that they weren't ready to receive Christ. Maybe you figured, well, I don't like them anyway. Maybe you assumed that they were already saved. But how many people? How many people, because we didn't step out of our comfort zone? Because it is a real deal. There is a heaven to gain. And there is a hell to shun. And every single person in this world is going one of two places. There's no in between. Well, they would never receive, so why should I share it with them? Well, let's look at fear it. Let's look at those two guys. Who are we to say, who are we to assume that they're ready or that they're not? All I know is that the Bible tells me that the harvest is ripe. All I know is that the Bible tells me to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not just the ones that look like they're receptive. Not just the ones that look like they're going to be easy. But it says to every creature. It says to every creature. And you are anointed, you are appointed, you are equipped, and you are commissioned. And what I like about it is, my goodness, he makes it so simple in Romans 1:16. It reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God, whether you're having a bad hair day or not. The gospel is the power of God, whether you feel tired or not. The gospel is the power of God, whether you feel like you're anointed or not. The gospel is the power of God, whether you feel the tangible presence on your body that very moment or not. All the pressure's on the gospel. He tells us what to preach. And then he tells us, my goodness, by the way, what you're preaching is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot more I want to cover, but I better hurry up and get into that script. You know, this is, I'm sure it's one of our favorite scripture references, Luke 4:18. I'm sure many of you could recite it by heart. But let's look at it together. Is anyone getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Good. So am I. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Woo! Yeah. Let's see why it's on us. Because he hath anointed. gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is the power of God. He has anointed you to preach the gospel. To preach your opinion? To preach rules and regulations?
No.
To preach the gospel. And we're going to get more into that next Thursday. Let's look at the script quickly. By the way, you have a homework assignment. Don't you love homework assignments?
Yes.
Do you want to know why you have a homework assignment?
To preach the gospel.
Because I want to see you step out of your comfort zone. Yes. Because when you step out of your comfort zone, that's when you get to see the hand of the Lord move mightily. My goodness, if you live your life in your comfort zone, I got two words for you. Dull and boring. How many of you want to be dull and boring? Good. Okay. When you step out of your comfort zone, my goodness, you get to see wonderful things happen. So if everyone who has these scripts, if you could hand them out, that would be great. This is your homework assignment. Your homework assignment is to invite... How many of you have daytime jobs here? Good. Okay, good. So this assignment is for those of you who have daytime jobs and those who don't have daytime jobs, okay? So that includes all of you. Your homework assignment is to invite 3 people to church. 3 people to church. That's your homework assignment. We're going to get you stepping out of your comfort zone to talk to people. People you know or people you don't know. They can be friends, they can be family, they can be relatives, they can be coworkers. Any of us can go up to someone and say, hey, you know what? I just wanted to invite you to the River at Tampa Bay Church.
Yes.
Who's an usher here? Terry, do we have any of those little river tickets here? If we do, can you go grab them and hand them out? So your homework assignment is to invite 3 people to church. Terry's going to give you some river tickets. If we don't have the river tickets, you know what? You can still do it without the river tickets. But that's your homework assignment. And your other homework assignment is to read over the script several times this week. And then next Thursday, we're going to get more into the script. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe that as you're sitting in this class, that an evangelistic soul winning anointing is coming upon you. And that you'll notice a holy boldness coming on your life to fulfill what God has called you to do. To go ye into the world and preach the gospel to your next door neighbors, to your friends, to your relatives, to your coworkers. And you know what? You never know just who that one person is that you're sharing that gospel with. That person you're sharing the gospel with could be the next Billy Graham. It could be the next Catherine Kuhlman. It could be the next Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. Amen? Because you never know. You never know. You could go up to some bum on the street and share the gospel. Let's just remember that just as God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, and just as His thoughts of you are more in number than what there is sand on the face of the earth, just remember that the bum on the street is the same thing applies to him or her. Just remember that the crack addict, the same thing applies to him or her. God is not a respecter of people. And my goodness, if it weren't for the grace of God, where would we be today? Am I telling you the truth? I'm telling you the truth. Amen? Anyways, Terry, are we handing those tickets out? So every single one of you, grab a bunch of tickets when you go through Taco Bell, when you go through Burger King, when you go to work tomorrow. Remember, invite 3 people to church. And one of the best ways to get to someone to church is by picking them up and bringing them in. Look at your neighbor and say, picking them up and bringing them in. Picking them up and bringing them in. That's the best way to get them to church. Well, you know what? That means I'm going to have to wake up 30 minutes early on Sunday. And Sunday, after all, is my day. My goodness, is it really? Okay. Anyways, I guess we're pretty much, what time does this class end? Okay. Well, lift your hands to heaven. Lord, I thank you for these precious men and women of God. I thank you for the call of God that's on their lives. Lord, I ask you to burn out every single bit of excess baggage, anything and everything that's not of you, Lord. Do a mighty work in their hearts. Lord, I ask for a holy boldness to come upon every single man and woman in this room. Every single person watching out by video, let a holy boldness come upon them, Lord. May they fulfill every single thing you've called them to do, Lord, and give them a passion for the lost, a passion for souls, a passion for souls, a passion. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Bless you. Don't forget about your homework assignment. What is it? Three people. That's right. That should be easy to remember. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.